I'm humbled to be here. Thank you very much. And I do hope that you will be able to read my Hindi way of reading English. Well, the passage that has been given to me is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and first 10 verses. Shall we hear the God's word? The law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice an offering you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased." Then I said, "Here I am. It's written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He set aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. Thank you.
Good morning. All this amazing equipment. One hardly knows what to do with it all. It's a strange context this morning, even more difficult than preaching to Zoom. but it's a joy to be here, and there's just a few people in the room to whom I'm expected to preach. First of all, I want to say what a joy it was to have Rajesh to read for me. He's often my interpreter. We've worked together for many, many years, and he knows me virtually inside out. He knows exactly what I'm going to preach. He hardly needs to listen to what I'm going to say. He knows, anticipates what's going to happen. So it's been a great joy to have him. I also want to say a very big thank you to all of those of you who facilitate these meetings with all the technology and connections. It is just amazing. It will be wonderful when we can get back to normal and we can relax and be ourselves. Now in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 10 it says, "But a body hast thou prepared for me." And then later on in verse 7 it says, "To do thy will, O God." A body hast thou prepared for me to do thy will, O God. Of course, the most magnificent body that embodied everything that God expected man to be was the precious Lord Jesus. He was all that God intended man to be before sin ever came. He was God's perfect man. Glory be to God. So wonderful just to contemplate him, to gaze at him, to look at him, to love him. He said, "You give me a body." He was the body of God incarnate, living down here on the earth, showing us how God intended every man and every woman to live. Now all of us in this room have a body. That's the one thing that we have in common. Every one of us has a body. Now we're all utterly unique, different. There are no two human beings ever identical. Every single one is unique. but all a part of that corporate body of Christ. When we are born into the world, the tragedy was that we inherited the awful invasion of the enemy that spoilt what God intended men and women to be. That was the great tragedy that took place in Eden, and all of us without exception have inherited that tragedy. We're all born with a fallen nature. Our body is no longer what God intended it to be. That is the tragedy of the invasion of Satan into the lives of men and women. And that is the condition and state into which every human being is born into the world. You don't have to have a new baby very long before you realize that that is a fact. I often say you look into the cradle and think that you produced an angel. But it won't be very long before you discover that you haven't got an angel. You've got a little rascal who needs to be trained and educated and reformed. But no matter what you do with it, you cannot change it. It's the embodiment of a spirit that is anti-God. And that is the state and condition of every human being born into the world. Which we cannot change. And but for the intervention of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus, and the finished work at Calvary, he's made it possible for you and I to be redeemed and reinstated back into that position that God intended us to know at the beginning. That is the work of the Spirit of God, to reproduce in you and me the very nature and character of the Lord Jesus. To conform us more and more like him. We read in 2 Corinthians, we are being changed. In the Authorized Version it says, we are changed. It says, we are being changed from one degree of glory to another. In other words, God, by his Spirit, is seeking to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus. That's God's great plan in redemption. That's what he's seeking to accomplish in your life and my life. Glory to his name. He's given us a body. And that body is for him. That's why we come into Romans chapter 12, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And when you and I are changed and conformed into the likeness and image of the Lord Jesus, that should be the great desire and longing of our hearts, simply to do his will. We have a body. Glory be to God. And as we present our body to him, we are to relinquish everything that we regard as important. We have to lay down our life. That's what it says. We're to sacrifice. We've been given a body that it may be a sacrifice. Hallelujah. God wants my body and your body to live a sacrificial life. No longer I, but Christ. For me to live is Christ. It's not you and I trying to live for Christ. It's allowing Christ to live in us and live his life out through us. I've been challenged by the title of a book. It's called A Chance to Die. by Elizabeth Elliot, and of course it's the biography, the amazing biography of Amy Carmichael. She embraced what it meant to die. Glory to his name, a chance to die. She literally embraced that. She died to herself. If you read the story of her life, it's the testimony of someone who took the word of God literally and constantly laid down her life for the sake of others. Her life wasn't exactly a life of ease and luxury. In fact, the latter part of her life was a life, in fact, of tragedy. She had a fall which damaged her leg and caused her to remain the rest of her life bedridden. But during that time, she spent most of her time writing. And her first little book was this, If. I don't know how many of you are familiar with If. I remember the first time when I got it, I was living in Liverpool in a place called World Friendship House. And every day we read one of the statements in this little book. And I'm just going to read you two of them, indicative of her laid down life. She says, if I can write an unkind letter, speak an unkind word, think an unkind thought without grief and shame, then I know nothing of Calvary love. And the last little statement in this little book is, if I covet any place on earth but the dust at the foot of the cross, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If you've got this little book, I challenge you to read it. One statement every day and embrace what it means to live a crucified life so that you and I can literally say, no longer I, but Christ. We die to ourselves. We don't just die to sin, we die to self. We die to our own likes, our own dislikes. We die. That's what it literally means to be the Christian life. It's an invitation to live a crucified life, to lay down our lives for the glory of God, to lay down our lives for our brethren. Hallelujah. A body have you given me, Jesus said. And you and I can say the same this morning. A body you give me. And I present that body as a living sacrifice to do your will. Amen. That's the great desire and longing of our heart this morning, to present our bodies, to relinquish all rights to ourselves. And as it says at the end of the Galatian letter, to bear in our body the marks, the stigmata of the Lord Jesus. That's what the word marks mean there. Stigmata. The marks of the Lord Jesus. The marks of a crucified life. Of course, the Apostle Paul was the embodiment of that statement. He didn't just write theory. The Galatian letter. Those are the two statements in the Galatian letter that I love more than any other. Chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's chapter 2. And then in chapter 6, verse 17, I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata of the Lord Jesus. And the word stigmata literally means the prints. Prince of the crucified Son of God. That's our calling. No rights to ourselves. Simply to do his will. Glory to his name. He said, a body you've given me, You and I can say this morning, a body you've given to me, Lord, to live a life more and more like the life of the Lord Jesus. He was born crucified. Calvary was the culmination of a life lived dead to itself and alive to his Father. And that's why you and I have got a body. That's why we've been entrusted with a body. The third thing is that your body is the temple of God. That appears three times in the Corinthian letters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16, we're told that our body is the temple of God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Glory to his name. At the end of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we are the habitation of God through the Spirit. And then Peter tells us in his first letter, in the second chapter, that we are a spiritual house, living stones built up into a spiritual house to become the dwelling place of God, that he might come and live within us in all his fullness. You and I are Christ's house. Hallelujah. We are Christ's house. And wherever we go and whatever we're doing, beloved, we are the bearers of him. Amazing. To think that this body, your body, is indwelt by all the fullness of the Godhead. That's why we've got a body. That God can live down here in you and me. It's not a special building called a church. You don't have to go to a place to find him, beloved. He's here. He is where you are. If we're born again of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God has revealed his Son in you and me, we become his dwelling place. Glory to his name. Paul describes this as a mystery in the Colossian letter. I love the Colossian letter. In chapter 1, verse 27, he tells us it's a mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you just turn to Colossians chapter 1, as I say in let's read verse 26. Even a mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And by the way, we are Gentiles. I don't think any of us are Jew. Although sometimes I look at my nose and wonder if I have Jewish blood. We are Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you go on to read in chapter 2 of the Colossian letter, it says, in whom are hid, in verse 3 of chapter 2, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then down in verse 10 it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. And then down in verse 9 and 10, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Beloved, that's what makes you and I a real person. A person as God intended us to be originally. When God first created men, he created us after his own likeness and after his own image. And that's what Jesus was. He was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By the Spirit of God, he's seeking to reproduce that same life, that same character, that same nature in you and me. That's why he lives in us. Not out there. He's not in some special building. This room is not the church. The cathedral in Liverpool is not the church. We are living stones built up into a spiritual house so that God can actually live in us. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, the way we behave, the way we talk, we're indwelt by the living God. It's amazing. Your body is the temple of God, the habitation of God, Christ's house. He lives in us, beloved. Paul says it's a mystery. Blows the mind. That's what it means to be redeemed. That's what it means to be born again. That's what it means to be what God originally intended us to be. Now, obviously, God is working on us day by day, conforming us more and more consistently to his own likeness and image. None of us are perfect. The Apostle Paul says in the Philippian epistle, we haven't yet attained, but we're pressing on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that high calling is the full realization that of what we are, what God intends us to be. Hallelujah. Don't compare yourself with someone else, but we're all unique, we're all individuals. But we're all born to complement that manifestation, the very life and nature of Christ. Your body is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do we really believe that? God, in all his fullness, lives on the inside of you and me. A mystery. Blows my mind. By his grace, beloved, may he enable us day by day to live more consistently in the reality of that great and wonderful truth. He had a body. He calls us to present our bodies in order that he might come and live in us in all his fullness. Jesus said, in you, in me. That lovely illustration in John's Gospel of the vine and branches. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Amen. I'm glad he didn't use an oak tree or elm tree. He used a vine. And if you know anything about a vine, they're all branches. So virtually what Jesus was saying, what I am, you are. Staggering. That's why we have to abide in him. So the very life and nature in the vine infiltrates and pours itself out through you and me as we seek to live day by day. Glory to his name. And then in Colossians chapter 2, again, verse 19, it says, we are the members of Christ. I love the Colossian letter. I think of all the little New Testament letters, it's one of my favorites. Verse 19, not holding the head from which all the body by joint and bonds having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Let me read that again. Wherefore, verse 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by point joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with increase with the increase of God. Hallelujah. He's our great living head, beloved. We are his body. He's the head. And all that the head is, beloved, he seeks to communicate in and through the body. Increasing day by day. It's not a static experience. Praise God for the day when the truth dawned upon my heart and your heart. It was in this very room, sitting about where Morris is sitting now, that the Spirit of God came and performed that miracle in my life. I had tried to live the Christian life for years. In fact, from the age of 4, when I first heard the gospel preached, that was my great longing, to know him, to love him, to follow him, to serve him. That was my longing. My great despair was that I couldn't. I tried. That's why I became a minister. That's why I went and studied theology. Praise God, I've forgotten most of what I learned then. Amen. But sitting in this very room, God revealed himself in me. I went from this room to the camp down the road to lead the young people's weekend gathering. I had a phenomenal migraine headache. I think I spoke for 5 minutes, ran out of the room, was so sick, and then came back in and spoke a little more. But I knew that from that moment onwards, God was no longer outside. He was inside. No longer someone remote and different. No one whom I had to seek to live up to. He had become my head to take me on, increase to increase from one degree of glory to another. It's not just an experience that we can look back to once upon a time, but the reality that he is our great living head. He gives us the mind of Christ so that we learn to think as he thinks. And react as he reacted. To live as he lived. Beloved, it's our head that virtually regulates the rest of our body. And if he's our living head, then he's the one who will arrange our life. Glory to his name. Let me take you to one last scripture, because I keep my eye on the clock. You will find it in First Corinthians chapter 6 again. It's the end of the chapter. Where in verse 19 he said, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Hallelujah. Again, the emphasis, beloved, is on the body. He's not talking about Jesus, just Jesus in the heart. Of course, Jesus in our heart must express itself in our body. We've been bought with a price. And what a price. The currency of Calvary, but it was called precious blood. And that's what has redeemed us and bought us and restored us and reinstated us back into that position that God intended us to have at the very beginning. Not just our heart, not just our mind, but our body. He didn't redeem me partially. At Calvary, beloved, he redeemed us completely. Body, soul, and spirit. That our lives might be a testimony to him, and that we might have, by the grace of God, the ability to live a life that is glorifying to him. That's why we've got a body. Hallelujah. He had a body. He invites you and I to present our bodies to be a living sacrifice. His one great desire is to live his life in us and ultimately to live his life out through us. That's why he spent his life down here on the earth as the incarnate Son of God and culminated that life at the place called Calvary, where he shed his blood and purchased us to enable us to live in the way as he wants us all to live. Glory to his name. Amen. Now, if we had time, beloved, we'd go on and look at the corporate aspect of the body of Christ. We're not just individuals. Every single individual, beloved, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, is the body of Christ. No longer I. That's what Paul keeps saying. No longer I, but Christ. That's true of us individually, but ultimately, beloved, it has to be true of us corporately. No, for the day, beloved, when this room is full of all the different members that relate to the body of Christ in this particular venue. But whether it's here in the Longcroft, whether it's on the uttermost parts of the earth, whether it's there in India, whether it's there in Africa, wherever there are men and women who have been born again of the Spirit of God and have realized that God has entrusted them with a body to represent him. You don't have to be a professional missionary. Glory be to God. Everyone who is born again of the Spirit of God has a body, beloved, to be a testimony to the reality of the fact that God has come in the person of Jesus, made his home in ordinary men and women like ourselves, to live as a visible, tangible testimony to the society in which we live. Oh Lord, oh God, enable us to live more consistently, to realize the purpose why I have a body. Amen. Let us pray, shall we? Father, we are constantly amazed that you should take ordinary men and women like ourselves and choose to locate your very person by the Spirit into the body of each one of us, that we might represent you down here on the earth. Lord, by your Spirit, enable us day to day to live more consistently according to the revelation of the truth of your word. We don't just want to read it, Lord. We don't just want to hear it. But by the power of your Spirit, our great longing is to live it more consistently day by day, so that we can say, it's no longer I, but it's Christ living in my body. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.